Hello, it's Marnie here, and I'm joined on this part of Chatterbox by Richard Matthew. Before we hear Information Desk, we continue our news items with a man caught with a 12-inch machete in a Norwich taxi, two former Norwich City stars signed for King's Lynn Town, but first, a woman has a nasty ordeal.
A woman and a man on a bike could hold vital information about an attempted kidnap in Norwich. An investigation was launched after a woman fought off a man who had been trying to kidnap her in Marriott's Way on a section of footpath near to Barker Street. The victim, aged in her 20s, was walking towards the city centre near Halfords when she was approached from behind and grabbed. After a short struggle, the victim managed to escape while the suspect fled the scene, running in the opposite direction of the city centre. A man in his 30s was arrested in connection with the incident. Police are appealing for witnesses and believe that two people in particular could hold key information.
A games area, which will make sport more accessible for youngsters with disabilities, has been opened at a Norwich school. Students at the Clare School on South Park Avenue celebrated the official opening of the £67,000 all-weather space. The school, which educates children with physical and sensory needs, secured the funds through donations from charitable groups, including Norwich Town Close Estates Charity, which donated £20,000. The Geoffrey Watling Charity, Anguish Educational Foundation, and North Sea Petroleum Golf Association were the other sponsors. Gary Hayden, the head of physical education at the school, said they were extremely excited to be opening the facility. It will provide a safe, essential learning tool beyond the classroom for all of our pupils to use and extend our curricular provision, he said.
Norfolk has a need for speed when it comes to broadband, but the county is on the brink of a multi-million pound bid which could bring the UK's fastest connections to the country. Schools, hospitals and businesses could see massive speed boosts if Norfolk can secure a share of £200 million from the government. Councils in Norfolk intend to join forces to ask the government for cash towards a full fibre network dubbed the Next Generation of Broadband. If successful, it would mean schools and hospitals could benefit from better broadband and businesses would be able to buy gigabyte connection vouchers. Businesses in Norfolk have long complained that poor speeds hold them back. A council report states, quote, digital hub sites would be located around Norfolk, offering digital ways to access services, for instance, video calls to access specialist health consultations. Tom Garrod, chairman of the County Council's Digital Innovation and Efficiency Committee, said, the projects being proposed have the potential to make a big difference and address some of the challenges we know people living, working and running businesses in Norfolk are facing.
A man had a 12-inch machete wrapped in a carrier bag in a footwell of a Norfolk taxi, a court heard. Manley Vidal, 25, of Wellington Green, Norwich, claimed he had just bought the machete to use as an ornament, but Norwich magistrates found him guilty of possessing a bladed article in a public place. He was also found in possession of a small amount of cannabis, which was for his personal use. The court heard he admitted possession of the cannabis, but has denied the weapon charge.
Insurance giant Aviva has been commended for its corporate governance in a national survey. The firm, which employs 5,000 people in Norwich, came second in the Institute of Directors' Good Governance Survey, with drinks manufacturing group Diageo, which owns Gordon's, Smirnoff and Johnny Walker, taking the top spot. Pharmaceuticals behemoth GlaxoSmithKline was ranked last in the index, with premier inn owner Whitbread and defence giant BAE Systems joining it in the bottom 10. The survey ranked companies according to 47 indicators in five broad categories, including board effectiveness, audit and risk, external accountability, remuneration, as well as shareholder and stakeholder relations.
To many Canaries fans, Simon Lapin swinging over across to Grant Holt is a fond memory. But now, the Norwich City legends are to return to Norfolk's football fields after the duo signed for King's Lynn Town. The pair were both a part of the City's squad, which earned back-to-back promotion from League One to the Premier League under the management of Paul Lambert. They will now be hoping to repeat that success for the Linners in the third tier of non-league football. Both have signed season-long loan deals to bolster City legend Ian Culverhouse's squad at the Walks, who are fourth in the Southern Premier after 7 wins and a draw from their opening 10 matches. Mr. Holt captained Norwich through their promotion and scored 15 goals in the Premier League in 2011-12, but the 36-year-old striker is now looking to earn his coaching badges. He said, "I've got the opportunity now to come here and do coaching as well as playing, so everything has kind of fitted in nicely."
More than 50 members of staff at Archant, this newspaper's publisher, have become dementia friends in a bid to better understand the condition. In January, Archant was one of the first businesses in Norwich to sign up to a scheme to make the city dementia friendly. As part of the pledge, it was promised that at least 50 members of staff would be trained to ensure that they can spread understanding. But the aim was also to spread knowledge through newspapers and websites, as well as reviewing the language used in the business's publications. David Powles, editor of the Eastern Daily Press and Norwich Evening News, said, "It's really important that people are in the know about dementia, especially as the numbers of people living with the condition will only increase."
A new project in Lakenham and Tuxwood looks to encourage exercise and a healthy lifestyle. The Lakenham and Tuxwood Energise project has begun with the aim of encouraging healthy living and physical activeness. Working with Sport England and Comic Relief, Energise provides residents of the two areas with fun and exciting new ways to improve their general health.
Students have been warned that they could face a fine of up to £1,000 for not having a TV licence after more than 150 young people in Norwich were caught without one. A total of 160 people between the ages of 18 and 25 were caught watching live TV or BBC iPlayer without a TV licence in the city in the past year, according to new figures released by TV Licensing. If students live in halls of residence and watch live TV or BBC iPlayer programmes in their room, they will need their own TV licence. Mark Whitehouse, spokesperson for TV licensing in East Anglia, said, "With many students owning at least one device capable of showing live TV or watching BBC iPlayer, it's important that they know the law around being correctly licensed."
Disability sport has come a long way in recent years, largely thanks to the raised profile of the Paralympic Games and Prince Harry's Invictus Games. But a club in Norwich is appealing for people with visual impairments to try their sport so they can offer a greater level of competition for all ages. The Norwich and Norfolk Goalball Club was formed in 2008 by sensory support worker John Milligan. It gives people with limited or no sight the chance to socialise as well as take part in physical activity alongside the others who understand the challenges that presents. At their training sessions at City College, players of all ages, from as young as 9 to teenagers and adults, don blackout goggles, elbow and knee pads, and spend 2 hours hurling themselves and a basketball-sized ball filled with bells around the sports hall. Teams of 3-a-side take turns to attack and defend with the aim of hitting the wall behind the defending team to score.
Almost 20 years after he nearly died in a motorcycle crash, a man has moved closer to achieving his dream of competing at the Paralympics after winning Great Britain's first medal at the Invictus Games. Olaf Jones, 54, lost his left arm in a crash while racing at the Isle of Man TT in 1997. The former Royal Air Force sergeant made the trip to Toronto in Canada as part of the 90-strong Great British team made up of injured, wounded and sick military personnel and veterans. He competed in shot put, discus and archery. But the first medal for Mr. Jones and Team GB came at the opening event of the Games in the Jaguar Land Rover Driving Challenge, putting his previous racing experience to use, picking up silver. Mr. Jones of East Tuddenham went on to perform well in his other events, picking up a bronze in shot put, which is his weakest event, and another bronze in discus. The final days of the event were spent completing in 3 days of archery, where Mr. Jones picked up his final medal, a bronze, in the team open compound final.